Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the path that's always winding upward. This troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause this heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Today's sermon is titled, Faith Living, Faith Giving. I will answer the question, what is faith living? What is the difference between living by faith and our initial faith in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? The New Testament authors give us an important clue about how to live by faith as strangers in the world today. They keep pointing us to the Israelites' poor example of living by faith in the wilderness under Moses, after they were miraculously delivered out of Egypt by the hand of God. The Holy Spirit is telling New Testament believers not to fall into the same example of unbelief as the Israelites. The Israelites' unbelief started after they initially believed Moses by putting the blood of the unblemished lamb upon the doorposts of their houses. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as Paul is writing to the Gentile church in Corinth, and I emphasize the Gentile church. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This stern warning that takes us back to the Old Testament is repeated several times in the New Testament for our admonition. The admonition is to the believer, not the lost man. Almost the entire adult generation of Israel failed to enter the Promised Land because of their constant murmuring, fornication, idolatry, and tempting the Lord. They were delivered out of Egypt. However, they failed to enter Canaan land except for Caleb and Joshua. The New Testament Canaan land or Promised Land is the millennial kingdom of God. The 1,000-year kingdom that Christ will establish when he returns to this earth. Remember what the Lord's Prayer says, "Thy kingdom come." The honor to rule and reign with Christ in his earthly kingdom and to attain a crown is a privilege to those only who live faithfully after they initially put the blood of the unblemished Lamb of God upon the doorposts of their heart. Eternal life on the new earth, in a new created heaven, after the old is passed away, and which we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, is a gift received by our initial faith in the work of Christ on Calvary. The millennial kingdom, however, is a reward based upon our faith living as pilgrims in this current world upon this current terrestrial globe. The Israelites failed in living by faith after they initially believed Moses and being eyewitnesses to the amazing miracles of God and his utter destruction of Pharaoh and the Egyptian Empire. Believers in Christ are called upon to walk by faith, not by sight. So enjoy today's sermon as these things are explained further. Faith Living, Faith Giving, Part 2.
Acts chapter 14, 22, it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Continue. Tribulation. Is this not a tribulation period of time that we're going through? Is this not tumultuous? Isn't this crazy? We've never seen anything like it. And if we have a new president, put your seatbelts on, because we're going to go for a ride as Christians. Because what? They hate Jesus Christ. They're promoting an antichrist agenda. So who do they hate? You, me, those who are vocal against their atrocities. They don't think anything of it, lying. It doesn't, it's like water off the back of a duck. They lie. Lying is just a part of their nature. They're of their father, the devil, who's lied and deceived constantly. He's a murderer. They murder. They don't give a wink about it. They don't lose an ounce of sleep over it. So we have to continue by faith because we don't know what the next day is going to bring. We don't know what's going to happen a month down the pike. We may be meeting at Jeff and Ellen's house in 2021. Thank you. Behold, therefore, the goodness. This is in Romans 11:22. You don't have this either. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. You could do a whole message on just being cut off. In 1 Timothy 2:15, you don't have this in your notes either. So just jot these verses down. You could go back. Listen to this verse. This verse has created great ponderance by commentaries, preachers who have written commentaries, professors. How do you address this verse? It's talking about a woman, a saved woman. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. How do you saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety? Saved in childbearing. Is that a spiritual salvation? Is that a physical salvation? Means that there's no chance of them dying in childbearing? It's neither of those two. This is a different saved. This is the second salvation. Just like we talked about a second justification, a second sanctification. This saved means that they will suffer in their childbearing is suffering and tribulation, and if they continue in the faith, that is their tribulation. A woman who brings a child into the world, that's her suffering. She's made perfect, just like Christ was made perfect through suffering. We learned that in the book of Hebrews. She's made perfect, and that is her suffering. That's why the Bible says, quit yourselves like men. And I said, men, stop quivering. Be the leader. They're the ones who are supposed to suffer the real suffering tribulation out there. The wives are just the raising children at home and bearing children. And that's their suffering. If they continue in the faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Okay, now you're going to say, Greg, Pastor Greg, why are you criticizing women who work? Mothers who work, I'm not criticizing mothers who work. But let me tell you why you're working. Because the government takes so much of your husband's salary, so much of your husband's money, that it takes two of you to survive in a household. True? And pretty soon you're going to have to put your kids to work at 5 years of age just to get to survive. But no, notwithstanding, she is saved. That's a saved woman. She's not saved eternally because she brings forth a child. Because it says if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. No, this is speaking to a saved woman that she is saved. Because the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians chapter 2. What does that mean? Work out your own salvation. Any hands? But no. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The salvation that Christ brings is his salvation. It's God's salvation. The Bible says it's the Lord's salvation. But this salvation is work out your own salvation, dealing with the kingdom, dealing with your walk, your living by faith, faith living, salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It tells us there in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Heroes of faith, turn your Bibles to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. This has always been known as the Heroes of Faith chapter. Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we live by hope. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Means faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we're living, we're trusting that God's promises, God's kingdom is real amongst the pages of this book. We take this book as gospel truth and we trust it and believe it and believe there's a better home coming than what we do living here on this earth. Right? And a eternal home that you don't have to constantly repair and mend and throw money into to fix and maintain new roof and fix the electrical problems in the house, the mold issues, the leaky pipes, the roof caving in. It's nonstop in your house, right? It's nonstop, constantly throwing money into the house. If it's not the refrigerator, it's the air conditioner, right? If it's not the air conditioner, it's the furnace. If it's not the furnace, it's the gas line coming into the house is leaking. So we take these promises. We're living by faith, not by sight. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you and I have witnessed people who have been just living by faith and don't let the things of the world bother them at all. You may have met people like that who they have a great vision. Many of us have to constantly exercise that vision and make it work in us and constantly re-energizing ourselves. But some people have that great vision and that great hope that they know there's going to be a better day. And so the trials and tribulations of life, they allow those to roll off our back like water off the back of a duck. And so it's believing in Romans. Well, let's continue reading here in chapter 11 since I got you there. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. That God was honored with Abel, and he became a martyr. And guess what? You and I are going to see Abel someday. Go back to verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Well, here we hold in our hands the word of God, but God also spoke the world into existence. And we believe that by faith. Before you got saved, it was hammered into your brain that the earth is billions and billions of years old, that there was a big explosion, the Big Bang Theory. There were dinosaurs millions of years ago. Man only been on the earth for a few hundred thousand years. The earth has been around for 4 billion years. When you got saved, What did you do? You changed your thinking and you said, I'm going to believe the front of the book, the creation account, over all this supposed evidence of a Big Bang. You think there's false news, fake news? There's been fake science before there's been fake news. And fake religion before that? They're just catching on in the news industry. But there's fake science. So you got to believe it. When I teach that the Earth is the center of the universe and the sun orbits around the Earth, I told my students years ago in the classroom, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible, you're going to be mocked. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be called a flat earther. You're going to be ridiculed if you believe that the Earth is the center of the universe, because older than evolution is heliocentricity, which says the sun is the center. That came with Copernicus. Copernicus introduced that. Then you had Galileo and you had Kepler. There was a man by the name of Tycho Brahe who was documenting evidence to overturn Copernicus. And he died a mysterious death, a sudden death. And but we have to trust the Word of God that it is the truth, even if we're mocked and ridiculed. And when you're a child in school systems, and it's hard to live with that faith that I trust the Bible and the Word of God. And being ridiculed if you're taught those things as a child and say, well, I don't believe in evolution. You go to a secular school and tell a teacher you don't believe in evolution, and they'll mock that kid so badly, they'll go home crying and never want to come back to school again. Ridicule them. So, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. Translated. That's the same word we use for rapture. Raptured. He was taken alive out of the earth. By faith, Enoch was translated. We got to believe that by faith. Enoch left the earth by rapture. God just took him. That's something you and I have to believe by faith. That he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he what? Pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. This is dealing with our everyday life. Pleasing God. If the Bible says, I shall supply all your needs according to my riches in glory, right? God cares for us. God provides for us. Why did the church 6 decades ago go to the government to ask for a tax benefit? To go and ask for a tax, to incorporate themselves and ask for a tax deductible benefit from the government? Why would they? If God supplies all the needs for the church and all Christians' needs, supply all our needs according to his riches and glory, don't we believe that by faith? That was an unfaith moment in the church's history to go to government and seek some benefit from the government instead of seeking a benefit from God. God provides our benefits. He's our beneficiary. He provides all the benefits. He's our sustainer. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He believed God. That is a serious thing not to believe God when they didn't listen to Noah. Because besides Enoch, who was raptured out, only Noah and his family entered the ark. And I mentioned it before, a good indication that there could have been billions of people on the face of the earth at that time died because they did not believe, they did not trust Noah, what he was preaching.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.